we're going to ask you to pray for us as we get started here. I feel like that we really need to remember our nation. You know, we heard of the riots beginning again in Louisville already this afternoon, and we need to especially remember everyone there that's located in that area. We understand that this is a terrible thing that has happened, but you know, if we could all just, as a nation, just stop for a moment and stop pointing fingers at one another, that it was this person's fault or it's that person's fault, or and we just would stop for a minute and look to the Lord for guidance on how to continue through this. It was a great tragedy, no doubt, and we know that, you know, there is evil in this world, but if we would just stop and look to the Lord as a nation, not just individually, but look to the Lord as a nation, we can move past this. We could start to move forward again and get back to doing what we should be doing, and that's focused on winning souls for the kingdom. And you know, we've talked about this a lot as we have ministered here. It seems like a lot of my ministry that I've dealt with has dealt with trying to get people motivated, I guess you would say, to try to encourage and try to get people to move forward for the Lord, to get things going back in the right direction, to encourage people to stand up for their faith, to encourage them to stand up for what they believe in. And as a church, I feel like we sometimes, you know, we have stumbling blocks in our way. Things happen in our lives, and we don't, let's just be honest, there's times when things happen and the first thing that we do isn't to look to the Lord. We react, and that's not the right thing. We need to look to the Lord in all things, and first things that we do is should always be to look towards the Lord. And I want you to know tonight that the Lord is here for us, that the Lord will help us through this situation just as he has all these other situations. He's been through with this nation since its beginning. We've been through two world wars and several other wars, a civil war, and the Lord has always been there with us and helped us through these things. But today I'm afraid that so many people have been distracted by the devil, that he has turned so many minds that either it's one way or and there's no other way, that it has to be my way. And there's differences of opinion. We've lost the ability to hear each other's thoughts and to work our sound out, work things out peaceably. We no longer work things out peaceably. It's either you're on my side or you're against me. And that's not the way it should be. You know, the Bible tells us that we should love our neighbor as ourselves, that we should treat them the way we would want to be treated. And I'm just going to be completely honest with you. I feel like what this world needs and what we as a church need is to get back to the way things used to be. We need to turn back to the Lord. I'm not saying that we look back on the past and focus so much on the past that we forget that there's a future. I believe it's in Proverbs, and I believe it's accredited to Solomon, where it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And today what is, I'm afraid, has happened is that so many people have forgotten that what the true vision of the church is, that the true vision of the church is not to be a political party. It's not to make political change. But the true mission of the church is to see souls won for the kingdom, that people should not perish. But I'm afraid that the church has fallen asleep. And when I say church, I don't want anybody to think I'm talking about one denomination or this church. I'm saying as a whole, the kingdom seems to have fallen, the church world seems to have fallen asleep. And when we haven't fallen asleep, we've begun to accept ideas that are not biblical. And those are things that cannot be tolerated in the kingdom of God. What this word says is what will stand on judgment day. This is what we're going to be judged on. We're going to be judged if we lived up to what's written in this book, if we kept his commandments, if we loved our neighbor as ourselves. And I want to read a verse over in Acts chapter 2, because I think this is what the church world needs today, to get back to the, you know, we hear it a lot of times said, the old paths. Acts chapter 2, and this is how we get it. And it says, Acts chapter 2, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all, and this is the key part here, were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled up the house where they were sitting in. That's what the church world needs today. We need to get back to being focused on one mind and one accord, and doing what the Lord would have for us to do, to focus on the Lord, to be, to be ready to do what the Lord would ask us to do. We have been struggling through a great many things here in 2020 and 2019. We have struggled through this coronavirus pandemic, which still there seems to be no end in sight to. These racial inequality is what they stand in for now, seems to be a continuing factor here in 2020. Abortion continues to be a factor. Homosexuality continues to be a problem. And why? Why do these things continually become problems? And the reason is because as a church world, we're not in one mind and one accord. We're focused on being politically correct. We're focused on appeasing this group. We're focused on being inclusive to this, when the only people we should be inclusive to are the people that need it, are the lost. And so often, people are turned off by the church world because they feel, when they come in, that the people in the church feel like they're better than they are, that they feel judged by the people when they come into a church, the stares and the glares, because maybe they're not wearing the same kind of makeup that you are, or maybe they're not wearing the nicest clothes, or maybe they've got some tattoos and they're showing. You know, people today aren't like the people were in 1960. And the people in 1960 aren't like the people were in 1900. And the people in 1900 weren't like the people that lived in Jesus' day. I think what made Jesus unique in his approach was that he was relative and current with what was going on in the world. And the church has decided to relish on the past and not focus on the future. So often there's no vision, there's no plan for the future. There's no outgoing goal. There's nothing to strive for. Why? Because there's a lack of a vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Why do we see dwindling numbers? Let's get a little closer to home now. Why do we see dwindling numbers in our associations? Why? Do we have a vision? Do the people know what the vision is? Do we tell people what our goal is as an association? When people come in, when we have visitors come in here at this church, let's get even closer. Do we tell them what our mission statement is? Why we exist as a community? Do we stand and welcome them as they come in the door? Or do we just let them come in the door and sit down and just hope that they get what they need? What the church world needs is a revival. We need to be focused once again in one mind and one accord to get what the Spirit of the Lord would have for us, to strive. I'm going to read it to you because I have a tendency to misquote things. So let's just read it. Over here in Luke. I'm sorry, I think I've put my tab in the wrong place. I did. I put my tab in the wrong place. Anyway, I'm going to try and quote it. And if I don't get it exactly right, I beg you to forgive me, okay? Jesus said that he came not to heal those that didn't need healed. I'm not going to get this exactly right. But those that were in need, those that are in no need of a physician, I'm going to botch it up. Those that are sick need a physician. That's why he came. He came for those that are sick. He came for those that are hurting tonight. He came for those that need to know the truth and the love of the Lord. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, 31. Carol bailed me out. Thurman tried to help me, but I still didn't get it. I still botched it up. It says, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I come not to call the righteous, but the sinners unto repentance." And I'm afraid, not as a church, but as a church world, we've neglected to fulfill that statement. That sometimes we think of ourselves as better because we're Christians. That sometimes we get prideful and proud as Christians because we know the love and the joy of the Lord. We must remember to always remain humble. And I'm going to try and tie this all together for you tonight. And I'm going to tell you a little story on myself. When I'm studying, and when I'm getting ready for Wednesday nights or Sunday mornings or Sunday nights, whatever the service would be, when I'm getting ready, a lot of times I get real excited. I get real amped up, get really encouraged, and the Lord just fills me with all kinds of things, and I'm grateful for that. And you know, a lot of times, you know, we hear stories, and there's nothing wrong with different types of preachers. I just don't happen to a lot of times be what you would consider a Bible thumping, snorting, spit wiping jumping up and down kind of preacher. I just don't happen to be that way a lot of times. But I'll tell you what, a lot of times when the Lord gets me worked up for these messages, that's kind of what goes through my head. He gets me all, I get all built up, and I have this expectation that this is going to be one that everybody's not going to get anything out of, because I'm up here and I'm stomping my feet and spitting, and they're going to be looking at me sweating and dripping sweat everywhere, and I'm thinking people ain't going to get what I try to present to you the best to my ability of what the Lord gives me. And, you know, I want you to know tonight that the Lord really wants, the Lord's desire would be for us to all be, every time we come to church, in one mind and one accord, to always be ready, to be doing what the Lord would have for us to do, to search to do those things, for the church to survive what is going on in this world today. The church is going to have to get back in one mind and one accord. The church needs a revival as a whole. The church world needs to be refocused, to be rededicated to the ideals of that the Lord gave us, and to quit trying to mingle in everything that we don't need to be mingling in. We need to quit accepting things that are not in the Bible. We need to quit making excuses for the people that want to live that way. There's no excuse for what they're doing. Wrong is wrong whether the world wants you to believe it or not. If the Word of God says that it's wrong, then it's wrong, and we shouldn't be doing it. And if we condone those things by doing nothing, then if we do nothing about those things, then we condone it. And the church world has done so much condoning in my lifetime that it's almost sickening when you sit down and think about it. It's almost sickening. The things that have been allowed to happen, and the church world has set back and done nothing about it. And you say, we don't want to do nothing about it, because then they're really not going to like us then. Well, wouldn't it be better that they know the truth and to have their feelings hurt, and maybe them think about that at some point in their life and realize maybe they're wrong and start asking questions about the Bible? Maybe that's what the Lord needs. Maybe he's going to use that moment to come back in somebody's mind 10 or 15 years down the road. Maybe when they're getting ready to take their own life, they'll think, well, wait a minute. That guy said I was wrong, but yet he told me that he loved me anyway, and that there was a man named Jesus who loved me enough that he died on a cross for me so that one day I could go and live with him, but that I had to accept him as my Lord and Savior and do his will. Is that possible? It is. But it's not going to be possible if there's no people to tell of the good news that the Lord has done for us. You know, we've talked a lot about here lately the things that the Lord has done. Last Wednesday night we talked about praises, singing praises to the Lord, giving Lord praise and glory for all that he's done. He's been good to us here in 2020, hasn't he? There's been a lot of good here in 2020, but yet we focus on the negative. Why? It's the human in us. It's the human. We always focus on the things we want to go right. We focus on the things we can't have. Why do we strive for those things? It's all because of the curse. All because Adam and Eve ate of that fruit. That's why the things are the way they are in this world today. People look for all kinds of excuses as to why bad things happen. And the truth of the matter is, bad things happen because of one thing. Adam and Eve disobeyed the Lord of God, the Word of God. And now, because of that, we suffer as a race. All the evil that is in this world today, all the disease, the sickness, the reason we as a race have to die is because of that sin. It is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. We all have to die once. We don't have to die twice. But yet, the church world walks around like it's dead already. Why? And I know, I see it. I see it. People are saying, oh great, here he goes again. Here he goes. We're going to have to change. If we don't change, it's going to die out. There's going to be no one left. There's going to be no need for this building anymore. If you want to bring it down to a local level, there's going to be no need for this building anymore. If we don't start changing things now, we can't not change, if that makes sense. Just listen. We cannot not change a thing and expect a different result. Do you know what the definition of that is? Insanity. It's insane to think that we can change nothing and expect a different result. Does that make sense? We're on a decline as a church world, as a whole, as an association, as a whole, and as a church. We're on a decline. Did you know when I first started coming to this church that there were 96 members? 96. How many today, Don? 55. 41 members. And I'm going to venture to guess that was 2006. So in 14 years, 41. So if we continue that trend in 20 years, there's no reason for this building to be here. We have to change the behaviors. We have to change the mentality. We have to have a vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Is it because we're not in one mind and one accord? Do we all want to serve the Lord? I think that the answer to that question is yes. Do we all come in with that thought that we want to serve the Lord? I'm hoping the answer is yes. I think for the most part it is. We got to get the politics out. We got to get out of the mentality of, I want people to know that I'm the prettiest in the church, or I want people to know that I make the best food in the church, or I want to be known in the church as the best teacher. Now, am I saying that there's people here with this mentality? I think there's some. I think there's some that are so full of themselves that it's holding everything else back. And I want to say something tonight, and I say this not as a member of this church, but as a minister bringing a message. Pride bringeth the fall. Pride is going to bring the fall. If we don't get the pride and get focused on what the Lord has, there'll be no need for this. And I know this seems like a solemn kind of sermon, but I want it to be encouraging. I want you to take what I'm bringing to you with heart. To your heart, think about it. Ponder it. How many of us have lost loved ones in our family that need to be saved? Raise your hand if you've got somebody in your family that needs to be saved, that you know of. Somebody you want to see saved. How many of you would venture to guess that you have coworkers that need to be saved?
or people, relatives, that need to be saved. We know of a great field to be picked, but yet we allow things to keep us from inviting people to church. Or we've invited people, and they won't come, and we get our feelings hurt because we invite people and they don't come. Well, when you invite them, how do you invite them? Do you say, hey, you want to come to church with me on Sunday? I'd really like you to come to church with me on Sunday. Or do you say, the Lord's really moving in the church. We're seeing a lot of people coming to the altar. We're seeing a lot of people saved. You know, I'm not saying lie to them, okay? But I'm just saying, we got a lot of great things going on. The Lord's really moving in the church. We'd really like for you to come and see what the Lord's doing in our church. Why don't you come witness what the Lord's doing in our church? Maybe he can help you. Maybe you're going through a hard time. Maybe the Lord can help you. And not that I don't think that our pastor would get a big head, but our pastor is very knowledgeable. Our pastor is very good at expounding upon what the Lord gives him, something that I struggle with at times. You can tell him, we got a great minister. Come, see what he's going to see. Bring what the Lord has. Come listen to him. Come see him. If you don't want to come this week, that's fine. Check him out on Facebook. Check him out on YouTube. But I'm going to keep asking you until you come. That's the mentality we ought to have. We ought to have that joy, that spark. We ought to be relative to what's going on in the world. But we can't accept things that stand against what the Bible tells us. And I'm going to tell you and I won't say it again, and you're going to get sick of hearing it. We need a revival. We need to get worked up. We need to get excited. We need to get things moving. We need to start inviting people. People ain't going to come if we don't invite them. If it takes somebody getting loud, you got the wrong preacher, okay? But I'm going to tell you, sometimes I get worked up when I get to thinking about it. And this is kind of what you get when I'm doing it in my head. You know, the Lord didn't come so that we could just sit in our chairs on Sunday morning and be excited and say, oh, we're excited. We're glad to be here. You know, thank the Lord for what he's done for me. That's not what he came and died on a cross for. He came and he died on a cross so that me and you could go be workers in the field. He didn't tell them to throw their nets on the other side and they wouldn't catch anything. They threw their nets on the other side and what? Their nets broke, right? Because they had faith. They listened to what the Lord said. When he told them, he said, come follow me, I will make you fishers of men. He didn't say, I'll make the fish jump in the boat. You see what I'm saying? The fish ain't going to jump in the boat. The people ain't going to come into the church. We got to go fishing for them. We got to go get them. We got to go invite them. And if that means that we got to take them by the hand and say, please, come hear what the Lord has to say. Come hear what the minister has to say. Beg them if you have to. I don't care if you have to say, I'll take you out to eat afterwards. I know that seems like a sin. Some people, if it's against what you believe, then that's fine. Take them out to eat. Buy them a hot dog. Bring them a picnic. I don't care what you do. I've heard people say all their lives, you can get them in with a hamburger, but they'll run them out with a hot dog or whatever. As long as they're in, I don't care how you got them in. Give away stuff. Shoot, if we have to, we'll give away money to get them in here, I guess. I bet if I was to say I'm giving everybody that walks in the door $50, we'd have a line from here to Franklin of people trying to get in this building wanting $50. Or if I said I was giving away 60-inch plasma TVs to the first 100 visitors to the Edinburgh Separate Baptist Church this Sunday, I bet there would be a line from here to the baseball diamond. There'd be more people here on Sunday morning than there would be over there at the baseball diamond for a change. Why? Why? Because they don't know. They don't know. A lot of them don't know. They've never heard. We live in a world today where parents didn't make their children go to church. My generation, I know of people that I work with that don't go to church, that don't take their children to church. Why? Why? Because there's other things to do. Because the church has allowed, we have allowed ourselves to fall asleep. We're like the five of the bridegrooms that came. You know, the five were wise and five were foolish. We're the five that didn't bring no oil for our lamps. We've forgotten the oil. We got to go by. And guess what? While we've come by, the Lord has come. The Lord has come. There's been people that have been missed because the church has fallen asleep. Why? And we continue down this downward path. This is not just an Edinburgh issue, okay? This is not for Edinburgh. This is for the Facebook world too. If you go to another church, I'm talking to you right now. This is to you. I don't know of very many churches that are on the rise right now. The church world is in steady decline as a whole. And why? Because we've fallen asleep. Are we going to be caught? Is the Lord going to sound the trumpet? And are we going to be caught asleep as a church? Is he going to come back and say, well, what have you guys been doing? I'm just saying, what were you guys doing? If the Lord was to come back right now, what would we stand up and say? What would we stand up and say? Well, if he was to say, when was the last time, Don, you invited somebody to church? If he was to say to Jimmy, when was the last time that you invited someone to church? Or to Thurman, or to Greg, or to Nick, or to me? We're all guilty of it. We're all guilty of falling asleep at some point. But you know what? Things have got to change. Things have got to change. Why do we have to continually see our people struggle? And why do we have to continue to dwindle away into nothingness? It doesn't have to be that way. I'm here to tell you tonight that there's hope. That there's hope in the one named Jesus Christ. If we would get like these people, what does it say? It doesn't say that when that spirit came in, they all just sat there. What does it say if we look in Acts chapter 2? And I know you're saying, preacher, you're really reaching here. You're taking this out of context. I'm not trying to take anything out of context. I'm going to show you what the Spirit can do when we all get together in one mind and one accord. In verse number 3, it says, and they appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and they set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Get what it says? They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues and spirits, and gave utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, when there was noise abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Heard him speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? Do you see what the Spirit of the Lord can do? And then we know what happens next. Peter stands up and gives a great sermon. One of the greatest sermons ever written down. You know, we have the Lord's Sermon on the Mount written down, possibly the greatest sermon, which, you know, if, you know, you can all, everybody's got their opinion on how sermons, what's the best one, what's this, what's that. You know, it's all good. It's all good. But the people were amazed at what they saw. Are these not all Galileans? Don't you want them to say today, aren't these all Christians? Are them all Christians walking around out there doing these things? Are these Christians walking around and people are hearing and coming and being saved? What are they doing? What are they doing? Boy, I'll tell you what, if somebody was to shout in one of our church services, it'd scare a lot of people. You know what? But I remember growing up in a time, and I mean, I remember I grew up in the Franklin Church, and Effie, Thurman's wife, she was a shouter. I'll just tell you, she was shouting. There's times she shouted, and it scared me to death. And I was just a little kid, and I remember it. But you know what? There, our churches used to have a little shouting every now and then, and the people did what the Lord wanted them to do, what they felt like the Spirit was doing. But I'll tell you what, today, if somebody was to shout, people would call them out of order. You know why? Because they're disrupting the service, and we got to be home by 12:45, 1 o'clock. Which, I'm just going to tell you, if you're coming here to be out by 12:45, 1 o'clock, Danny's not your preacher, okay? Danny's a good preacher, and he's going to go until the Lord gives him what he gives him, and he's going to be done then. It don't matter. He don't care what time it is. And I think that's the way we ought to be. If Danny was to preach a sermon till 3 o'clock in the afternoon one day, how many people do you think would actually hang around till 3 o'clock in the afternoon? You know what I've heard? I don't remember, but I've heard when they used to have church service till 3 or 4 o'clock and had lunch/dinner and then just went right back into having church right there at the church. They never went home on Sunday. That was just what they did. Why? Because people had a desire. They had a desire to serve the Lord, and that is what we need back in our churches today. That one mind and one accord, they came for a reason. They came to serve the Lord. They came to do what He had them to do. We need to get back to that place where we would desire nothing else but to be together as a Christian family here in this building, COVID or not. I'm going to tell you, we should have the desire to be together. We should have that longing to be together. We should want to see people saved. We cannot allow this pandemic. We cannot allow these race equality riots to disrupt what needs to go on. Because what is the truth in all of this? Is this world is dying and hurting. They're all hurting. And there's a whole lot of sinners out there. Would you agree with me tonight that there's a whole lot of sinners out there? There is, right? There's a whole lot of sinning going on and not a whole lot of Lord serving going on. We need to serve the Lord and do what the Lord has for us to do. We need to have that desire. And you're saying, boy, he's rehashing every message he's ever preached right here in this one message. Do you know why that the Lord sends messages our way as ministers? It's not to hurt anybody's feelings on purpose. It's to prick your minds, to make you think about what has been said. Hopefully, if you get your toes stepped on, you don't run away. Because do you know what that means? First of all, it means that you're tough. And when I say tough, when I was growing up, a man was tough. How many of you remember? Men were tough. They were burly. That's what men do. Men don't cry. Men don't wear pink. Those were all the things that were going on when I was a boy. If something happened to you as a man, you just picked it up and moved on. Right? That being tough. That's what we were all taught as kids. Where men are tough. Life throws hard punches at you. When the things don't go your way, you pick it up, you pick your trousers up, and you go on to the next thing. You just keep going. You don't let nothing get you down. But today, if somebody steps on your toes, we all get our feelings hurt. And then I don't like you no more because you hurt my feelings. But I'm going to tell you what. It's better that I hurt your feelings and maybe the Lord pricks your mind and you get saved than me not to hurt your feelings and you die and go to a lake of hell. We need to do a little more toe stomping. We need to get our toes stepped on every once in a while. If you're doing wrong, you're doing wrong. If the Lord convicts you of doing something wrong, don't do it. Don't do it. And ask the Lord to forgive you. Because I'm going to tell you what. I don't know any Christian. And if any Christian was being honest with you, you can't say that there's not been one time in your walk with the Lord that you ain't messed something up and he's convicted you of doing wrong. I don't know anybody that's that way. He convicts me of doing stuff once a week sometimes it seems like I do something wrong. And I'll just tell on myself. Yesterday, I was driving home. Donnie was with me. He'll tell you. The guy blew by me on the interstate. And I'm going to be honest, I have a little bit of road rage. He drove by me in the emergency lane, passed me in the emergency lane, and I had to slam on my brakes to keep from hitting him when he merged back in between me and the car in front of me. And about half a mile down the road, I got over to get on 65, and he was about three cars behind me. I happened to roll my window down, and I just waved at him. And the Lord convicted me of that almost as soon as I did it. And I told Donnie, I said, sometimes Anthony gets in the way. What if I'd have had my I'm a minister sticker on the back of my truck? How many people people that know me would say, boy, that's not very ministerly. A minister shouldn't do that. I'm going to tell you, ministers make mistakes. Okay? I'm going to tell you, we all make mistakes. It happens. Okay? And when the Lord convicts you of it, you ought to ask for forgiveness of it. And I'll tell you, I ask for forgiveness of it. But he's still saying, you really shouldn't have done that. You get that little voice over here. You get that conviction feeling. How many have had that feeling? Just be honest. Come on, we're all fellow brethren here. We've all had that. That little voice comes to you and says, you shouldn't have done that. And that's the Lord talking to you. That's the Spirit saying, hey, that was wrong. We ought to be chastised every once in a while. You know what I mean? When I was a boy, if I did something wrong, my parents told me. And if I kept doing something wrong, there was a correction for that. In my day, it was a belt. And a lot of your days, it was a switch off a tree. And I know the story because I went and got a switch one time. And the story was, if it broke, you was in really bad trouble. You got to go get another one, and it was going to keep going. Okay? That was what I was always told. That was how it was. Today, if you even raise your voice at a kid, they're calling CPS on you and they're going to take your kid away. And why are we in the state that we're in today as a nation? Because we can't handle being told that we're wrong. We can't handle that. But there's a whole country out there, and there's some good out there in this country, don't get me wrong. But there's a whole lot more bad than there is good. The devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And I'm telling you right now, he's devouring a whole lot of the youth of this country. It's not going to get any better. Why? Because what have we talked about? What's going away? Come on. What's going away? What's dwindling? The church. The church is dwindling. And who's going to spread the good news if the church is gone? I don't see the devil spreading no good news. Fake news, but no good news. Why? Because he's going to get you in with a hot dog. And once he's got you, he's got you. How many people have you heard tell stories about being addicted to alcohol? Or being addicted to drugs, and talk about how hard it is to overcome those things? I don't know. I can't say that I know what that's like. I've never done that. I've never had that problem. But I know there's several people that do. The devil is like an addiction. He's going to get you with this, but he's going to keep dragging you down one step at a time until he gets you where he's got you. And guess what? Something happens, and just like that, you're gone. You're gone. And now you wake up in eternity, and you stand before this man named Jesus, and he says, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I never knew you. And you're gone into a burning lake of fire forever. We cannot allow this to continue. We cannot allow these things to be the standard, to be what is accepted as a church. We have to change the mentality. We have to change. We have to be focused ever vigilantly on the vision of seeing more people saved, more people coming to the kingdom. We need to see a revival. You say, oh my goodness, he's circling. I'm not circling. I want to tell you right now, this is what we need. We need the church to wake up. We need the Lord to chastise us a little more. We need the Lord to say, hey, wake up. You're sleeping. It's not time to be sleeping. You get a rest and enjoy my kingdom when your life is done or when time is no more. That's the time that we get to rejoice. Those are the times when the work is over, is when the kingdom is done. When we enter into that kingdom, when he has judged us on judgment day, and we walk in and he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter in. That's when our work is done. I don't care if you're 104. There's something you can do. I don't care if you're 13 or 8 years old and just got saved. The Lord's got something for you to do. There's a work to be done, and it's never ending. Why do you think, and this just came to me, why do you think it says, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved? We often equate that to trials. But that means that that's okay. We can equate it to that. But doesn't he also equate this to a race, a runner in a race? When you're running in a race, you have to have endurance, right? You have to endure a little fatigue. We got to fight through the fatigue. It's the fourth quarter. Okay, I don't know. Time could go on for another 1,000 years. I don't know. But as far as we're concerned here tonight, this is the fourth quarter. There's 2 minutes left on the clock, and we're down about 100,000 souls to one. If you were to equate it, in the 90s, 90% of people in the country of the United States identified as Christian as their belief. Today, less than 50%. Why? Because we've fallen asleep. We've fallen asleep. We've allowed these things to happen. We need more parents to stand up and say, you're going to church with me today. You don't get to play your Xbox at home while I go to church today. You're going to church with me. We need some parents to, and I'm not condoning child abuse by any means, but when a child does something they shouldn't do, sometimes they need to be spanked. Okay? There's nothing wrong with spanking a child. What's the saying? Spoil the rod, spoil the child. Spare the rod, spoil the child. The Bible says, train up your children and the way when they are young and the way they should go, and when they are old, they shall not depart from it. How many of you were brought to church and taught and made to sit in Sunday school? Not made. How many of you were brought to church and went to Sunday school? Raise your hand. Okay? How many of you, let's just be honest, when you were teenage years, were made to go to church? Raise your hand. I was. I'm going to tell you, and I'm going to tell you what happened. There was about a month in there where I said, nah, I'm not going today. And Dad said, yes, you are. And I said, no, I'm not. And that was the end of that conversation. Guess where I went? I went to church. That was the choice. We went to church. We need parents to tell the children, look, you can make your own choice in life, but as long as you live in this house, what did Joshua say? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's what we're going to do. That's what we need parents to say today. In this house, we're going to serve the Lord. As a church, we have a mission statement. Do we truly believe our mission statement? Do we live out our mission statement? Do we strive to minister? Do we strive to be a beacon of hope and light in the community? Is that our goal? Have we forgotten? You know, one thing is, and I've preached this a lot, we get so ingrained in our traditions. Let's just be honest. We get so ingrained in our traditions. We come in, we have a welcome, we sing a song, we have special singing, have prayer, we have preaching. We go home. Then if we, on Wednesday nights, we come in, have announcements and prayer, the preacher gets up and does what he's supposed to do, and we go home. What would be wrong with, say, maybe, I don't know, somebody, you know, doing something out of the ordinary? Maybe, you know, what would be wrong with that? There'd be nothing wrong if the Lord's in it, right? If the Lord was to tell Brother Jimmy to come in one Wednesday night and say, Brother Anthony, I just feel like the Lord's got this on my heart, and I'd like to lead tonight. I would say, well, praise be to God. Brother Jimmy, you just go on right ahead if that's what the Lord wants you to do. Or if anybody, if Carol wanted to come in and say, hey, I want to sing tonight. Before you get started, can I sing first thing before we have, very first thing, I won't get up there and sing. Sure, go ahead. Let's have a song first. You know, what would be wrong with having the preacher get up right at the beginning of service, making everybody mad, and then having three or four songs, and then having the announcements and going home? There's nothing wrong with any of that, right? If you change things up a little bit, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying change what we believe. What I'm saying is, let's change the approach at which we approach people. Let's try something new. I'm not saying Danny comes out on Sunday morning and we fog up the place and get the lights going. You know, I'm not condoning any of that. I'm not trying to drum up the spirit here, okay? What I'm trying to get at is, I think the Lord is calling us to do something. The Lord has been trying for years and years, not just at this church, but at other churches, to get people to do something. And do you know what that something is? It's to go fishing. To go find people. Go get people to have a drive, to have that essence, that to be their sole purpose in life is to see somebody come and be saved. Do you know what? I want to tell you about arrogance, okay? I was arrogant when I first started preaching, okay? And I just had this thought that, you know, I'm Anthony and everybody's going to want to hear me preach. There's going to be people on the altar every Sunday when I start preaching. You know, that was kind of the thought, and that was the devil, okay? And I'm going to tell you what I had, and it's not like it's not as you would say, a scorecard or trying to keep track, but because of my arrogance, I think the Lord has tried to humble me into realizing that you're not this great all-powerful thing. You're a messenger for me. And you need to do what I'm telling you to do. And I have struggled with that because I had to get Anthony out of the way How many of you remember my first couple, 10 messages? We're about prayer and humbling yourself, getting yourself out of the way. Who do you think I was preaching to that whole time? Maybe some of you, but most of it was so that, hey, guess what? I hear what's coming out of my mouth. I don't really have much control over what's coming out of my mouth, to be honest with you. But I hear what's coming out of my mouth. The Spirit just kind of moves me forward. I don't know how to explain it. The words just kind of pop into my head as I'm talking. And then I just hear what I'm saying. But you know, the Lord has a movement about His people. His Spirit drives in each and every one of us when we focus on being in one mind and one accord. I know this isn't what we've been doing on Wednesday nights. I know. I can see it in your faces. You're ready to go home. I'm ready to quit. But I'm going to tell you what. I ain't going to quit until the Lord says it's time to quit. We got to be revived. We've got to be encouraged. We've got to be wholesome and ready to go. We need to be ever ready if that phone call comes at 11 o'clock and says, Brother Thurman, will you come pray with me? Or Brother Danny, will you come sit with me? I'm feeling, I don't know what's going on. I need somebody to talk to. You know, are we willing to be those vessels? Are we willing to do those things? Are we willing to go be with that person that's lost a loved one in the middle of the night? Are we willing to get up a few minutes early in the morning and pray that extra prayer to say, Lord, I don't know why I've got this person on my heart, but I have a desire this morning for this person that I want to see them saved, that I don't know what their problem is, if they're not saved or whatever's going on in their life. But the Lord, when He moves, moves. And we need to be ever vigilant and ready when He calls. And I'm here to tell you tonight, if the church doesn't wake up, there's not going to be a church anymore. And that's a sad thing to think of. And you know, I've had a lot of great time in church my whole life. I've grown up in church my whole life. I've seen a lot of services. I've been in a lot of different denominational services because of witness singing. And you know, we had a great time being together. That was like an extended family when we were with that group. And then when we came to Edinburgh, you welcomed us with open arms, and you said, you're like one of ours. It didn't have that half of you were related to me or we were relatives somehow, but you all welcomed me in. And you know, that's what church is about, is the family, about serving the Lord and having a desire. Why do we think that family churches are dying out? Because the family unit is no more in this nation. The family unit is broken. All things are broken when it comes to the family unit. We have moms that are separated from dads. We have children that are separated from parents. We have fathers that disown their family and have nothing to do with them. Why? Because the Lord is not the center of the household anymore. We don't focus on the Lord the way we should. We don't have that desire to be, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We see it on a lot of people's houses, but do they believe it? That's the thing. Do we believe? Here's a question. Do you really believe what you say you believe? Or do you just say it because that's the way that you were raised? I'm going to tell you, for a long time, I thought that I'm just going to be honest, that the separate Baptist doctrine was the only way. It is not the only way. There is other people going to heaven besides separate Baptists. I'm going to tell you right now. And that'll make people mad. I'll tell you, there's been people tell me. That makes them mad when you say that. There's nothing wrong with being a separate Baptist. There's nothing wrong with the doctrine. But I'm going to tell you what, there's going to be other people there. If there's only going to be separate Baptists there, it's going to be a lonely place. I'm going to tell you. But I don't think that's true, because you know why? Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. We need to have that desire. We need to be like these men. We need to go out and do what the Lord had for them to do, not be like they were. The church world today is like the disciples on day two of Jesus' death. Where were they? They'd all run away and hid, right? He's gone. He's gone. Oh, he's gone. They'd all forgotten. He told them, I don't know how many times, He would go away, but that on the third day he would rise again. He told them, as Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days in the earth. Why did they forget? Because we get distracted. We lose hope. They lost hope in 2 days. 2 days. He told them, I don't know how many times, he was going away, but he would be back. He had to die, that the Son of Man must die. He had to die so that all of our sins could be covered as long as we accept him as our Lord and Savior. We have to confess that we're a sinner, that we were born sinners. It's part of the curse. We're all sinners because of the curse. But if we accept him as our Lord and Savior, he's true and just to forgive us of our sins. If we ask, if we ask. But we got to ask. And how do we know we're sinners? By conviction. We understand. We're told that we're wrong and that things have happened. That we're living a sinful life. We're not living in the way that the Lord told us. And why? Because of one man and one woman's sin. That's why. So now we all have to die. But he had a plan, and we just talked about it. He sent his son, and he died so that we could have eternal life. But we've turned into, as a church, he's come back. We know he's come back, and he's ascended into heaven. He said, if I go away, I will come again so that I can receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. He's coming back. We've gotten like the disciples on day two. We're afraid. We need to get like the disciples after he's ascended and they're all in the upper room and they say, okay, we're not going to make that mistake again. I can just see them saying, we're not going to mess up like we did this last time. What are we going to do? We're going to elect another disciple. That's the first thing we're going to do. So that's what they do. They elect another disciple. And then what do they do after that? They're all in that room in one mind and one accord. And what we just talked about just happened. In today's terminology, basically, the Spirit came upon them and they had a revival. And that spread out to the whole world from that point, from that room. Why? Because they had a desire that all that they would do with their lives is serve the Lord. Is serve the Lord. Now, am I telling you to quit your job and serve the Lord? No, I'm not. If the Lord's not telling you to quit your job, then you don't need to quit your job. He's put you where you're at for a reason, okay? But if the Lord is telling you to quit your job because it's keeping you from him, then you need to quit your job. If the Lord's telling you that you need to quit watching a certain television program, then you need to quit watching that program. If the Lord's telling you you need to spend more time praying and witnessing to people, then you need to spend more time praying and witnessing to people. That's what I'm telling you here tonight. We all need that desire. I'm telling you, if we all really, truly focused and got that desire and gathered together with one mind and one accord, I'll tell you what, there'd probably never be a television come on again in any of our households if we had the true focus of serving the Lord. Because I'll tell you what, 90% of what you see on the television ain't good, okay? It ain't good. Whether it's not bad, it's just not good, okay? It's not something you should fill your mind with. You should fill your mind with the word of the Lord, with the good news. If we spent more time studying the good news, wouldn't we have more good news to tell? I think half the reason that we walk around sad and defeated today is because we watch too much news and it's all bad. It's all bad. I'll tell you what, if they had a television network called the Good News Network, I think it'd have a lot of views because I think people get sick of listening to all the bad that's going on in this world. Don't you get sick of all the bad that's going on in this world? How many of you are sick with it tonight? How many of you want to see change? The change comes when we pick this book right here Not mine particular, but whoever's got one, you pick up this Bible right here, okay? And you put your nose in it, and you pray about what you're reading, that the Lord would show you something, and you have a desire that people would get saved. Do we have a desire to see people in our lives saved? Do we have a desire in our lives to serve the Lord? Does it take sacrifice? Yes, it does. Does it mean I'm going to have to give up watching Star Wars and Star Trek and start putting more of my time into this than I would that? Yeah, that's an Anthony thing. I'll tell you right now, I'm a huge science fiction fan, okay? I love Star Wars. I love Star Trek. I think they're great, okay? But I have allowed that to distract me. How many of you have something in your life that distracts you from your time with the Lord, that you could dedicate more time to the Lord? Are we really, truly serving the Lord today, or are we just going through the motions? Do we want to see things change in this country, or do we just say it? Are we willing to sacrifice a little bit of luxury to say, we're going to see things change in this country? Are we willing to give it up? Are we willing to say, I'm going to not binge watch my favorite TV show? Or are we going to say, I'm going to give up some of that extra time I was going to put in at work and go do something for the Lord? Am I going to not allow things to distract me so that I can be focused on what the Lord would have for us to do? Are we going to have a revival? Are we going to wake up? Are we going to see things change? We're not going to see anything change if we keep going through the motions. We got to change something. If it's not one thing, then it's another. If we change this and it doesn't work, okay, we'll change this and try that. And if that don't work, we'll change this and try that. Who knows what'll work? We don't know. What message will reach the people? I'm going to tell you what message will reach the people. That Jesus Christ came and he died on a cross for their sins so that they could go to heaven. If I was to go out into the world today and say, how many of you want to go to heaven? I'm pretty sure every hand would go up, well, 90% of them. Maybe 95, the 5% that are atheists would say there is no heaven. How many of them do you think if I said, you're going to go to, who wants to go to hell? How many people you think is going to raise their hand and say, I want to go to hell. I want to go to that lake of fire. That's what I want to do with my second life. None. I don't think anybody would desire to go to hell. But the devil has been so enticing in his deceptions to the people today of this world that they've bought it hook, line, and sinker. Jesus told them, he said, beware, there will be many false prophets coming in my name, saying, doing things, claiming to be of me. Those are things he told us, that there would be many false prophets arise. We can't allow the false prophets to win. It's like a strategy. Okay, if you were to look at it from a business standpoint, the souls that are let's just take the numbers game here. There's this many sinners over here, okay, and there's this many church people. How does this number reach that number? How do we get people to hear? Well, we got to tell them, right? We got to tell them. How can they know unless they hear? How can they hear unless they've been told? They got to be told. We got to tell everybody about the good news that Jesus Christ is alive. He's still on the throne. He's coming back. And one of these days, that trumpet's going to sound and he's going to come down. They said he'll come back in like manner. He's going to come on a cloud right behind me, okay? Eastern sky is over here, just so you all know. East's this way. So he's going to come back on a cloud this way. And I've heard people say, well, that's just not going to happen. Can't happen. It's going to be dark on half the world. I'm telling you, when he comes back, I think it's going to be daylight everywhere. And somehow, I don't know, everybody at once is going to see it. Everybody's going to know that they've... And if you're not right, you're going to know. Uh-oh. But it's already too late. It's too late. Make your decision today. We have to make a decision. Are we going to continue down the path, or are we going to change? That's all I've got. That's it. Think about it. Does anybody have anything on their heart before we dismiss this evening? Thank you. Thank you. It's the Lord. It's not me. Anyone else have anything before we close? We'll ask you all to stand, if you would. We'd ask Brother Mike Hardwick, if he would, to dismiss us in prayer.